In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be looking today at the Vigil Mass for the Feast of Peter and Paul, which is on June 29th. Now, these Vigil Masses are have their own readings most often, and but people who go there, as far as I know, they're attending the feast day Mass. And so every year it should go up and will be up on the 19th of June. So you've got 10 days, as usual, to prepare you, those of you who are preaching. I want to talk first in this opening section on faith through hearing. What does that mean? As you know, it's a phrase. But, you see, he says here, but not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, who believed our report? Thus faith comes from what is heard. You see, because our report. But what is heard comes through the word of Christ. So faith comes through, as it's translated here, what is heard. You see, alla epistis ex acquis, from hearing, from what is heard. But did they not hear? Certainly. Now he quotes Psalm 18, their voice has gone out to the whole world, and their words to the ends of the earth. So he continues with his diatribe way of dialoguing with himself and bringing his audience into the thought process, you see. Did they not hear? Certainly. And then he quotes that psalm. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of a non-nation. With a senseless nation, I will make you angry. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 32 in the Septuagint. Isaiah is emboldened and says, I was found by those not seeking me. I was manifest to those not asking for me. That's Isaiah 65, again the Septuagint. Paul usually quotes the Septuagint, or quotes freely from Hebrew. About Israel, he says, all day long I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contentious people, of whom he is one. He's not condemning strangers. You know, that's our people. He's trying to explain why, when the Messiah finally came and through his death and resurrection brought about salvation through the whole world, why everybody else seems to get it but the Jewish people. Well, first remember this. All those who first preached the gospel were Jews. They were entrusted with the preaching of the gospel. By a mystery of God's providence, the greater majority, as time went on, of those who believed were non-Jews. Yet, this mystery, which is what he'll be talking about, you see, soon. Now, you see, what's going on, he's got to answer this question. He begins the letter to the Romans by saying, I am not ashamed of the Evangelion. I'm not ashamed of the good news, okay? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm just looking for the text now. Verse 18. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, Jew first and then Greek. For it is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written. And then you have this a text from Habakkuk. The one who is righteous by faith will live. Now, I want to talk in this introductory section before we actually get to the letter. What does this mean, faith through hearing? It's a very mysterious phrase. It means, yes, there has to be given expression to this mystery by someone who is in living touch with it. This is just a human experience, right? If somebody starts to tell you about all the beauties of Bermuda, and after a while you finally say, were you ever there? Oh, no. I mean, something's lacking. I mean, he might have read a book about it. He has a certain sense about it. But he doesn't have any personal contact with it. And so, faith comes through hearing the gospel when it's alive in the preacher. Now, it can happen that other people can even be mocking the gospel and others come to faith. But normally, so faith comes through hearing. And so that's his point. And that's the point of this whole first consideration that I'm trying to give you and myself. Why does he say hearing? Why didn't he say reading? Why didn't he say watching a movie? Well, there were no movies, so he couldn't have said that. Because you've got to hear the reality expressed by another human being. And it has to resound. See, when we know something, it is part of us. And when we speak of it, we are expressing that reality as it is alive in us. And so the more alive the reality is in the preacher, the more powerful is the reality as it comes to the believer or the prospective believer. So much so, as I pointed out before, in fact, I read a report from Preaching on the Missions. Preaching brings about healing of itself. While someone is preaching, people are healed. Why? So that the Lord can say through those healings, you see what I'm doing to these people's bodies? This is what I'm doing to your spirit if you will just yield to my action. And yield to the realities being mediated to you by the words. This is so important, you see, because it's this movement, this action, that enables this reality to be transmitted from one to another. You know, if you have a professor and they're sort of filling in, or don't know really what they're talking about, you know it. And if another professor comes in who's in living touch with the reality, even if it's algebra or something, you know it. And so, you see, this is what he's saying here. Yes, so faith comes through hearing. And He continues that theme often in the letter. So it's communication, mostly person to person or person to group, but person to person that faith comes. Can somebody be touched in other ways? Oh, yes. Very often, the beginning of faith is something different. But you see this, it has to be through hearing. And that's why he says that in this letter here, you see. And that's why he says, I'm not ashamed of the Evangelion. I'm not ashamed of this good news. Because, you see, It is the power of God. The Evangelion, that reality which I bring, any preacher brings to you, the reality is the power of God, not the words. So, the more that the one bearing the word has been touched, changed, flooded by this reality, the more that that reality reaches you. And of course, that's the great obligation of preachers at any level. I'm trying to remember that remark of a hippie to somebody. It'll come. Oh, it used to go like this. You know, I can't hear what you're saying because who you are is talking too loud. And it's a very nice, very revealing kind of a phrase. I can't understand, I can't accept what you're saying because who you are is talking too loud. So that's why touch with the reality and love for the person you're talking to, is persons even, is the way to produce that, you see. Having said that, he moves on to talk about sacrifice. It's going to be, of course, a theme throughout the whole of this letter, and it's for this feast of Peter and Paul, because both Peter and Paul, you know, brought the Evangelion, the gospel, by their words, by their persons, by their lives. But it's through hearing, getting it, that faith comes, you see. So, then the question is, what about sacrifice? And but St. Thomas has this phrase, I'm going to read part of it. A sacrifice, properly so-called, is something done for that honor which is properly due to God in order to appease him. And hence it is that Augustine says, a true sacrifice is every good work done in order that we may cling to God in holy fellowship, yet referred to that consummation of happiness wherein we can truly be blessed. So any sacrifice, you see, is really an act that comes from us and creates, through this work of the Holy Spirit, creates fellowship. And so that's why he says, you see, I'm not ashamed of the Evangelion. Because if the person pronouncing this is in living touch with the good news, which is what? The love of God in Jesus Christ to the point of pouring out his blood and rising for us. If this person is in touch with that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is that dynamis. It is the power to bring about, you see, as the text says, you're not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God, you see. To everyone who believes, everyone who accepts, Jew first, then Greek. And then he's going to start. But then that's setting up his letter, this first part of his letter. But you see, what he actually does is Greek first, then Jew. And starting with chapter 9, he begins to talk specifically about God's plan for the Jews. We'll stop there.